I want to take my place with this woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for mercy. 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 I need the mercy of God. So I'm taking the title for the message, Matthew 15, verse 25. I'm taking the title for the message in the words that are found there in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him. She worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." At his feet, worshiping the Lord. The only place a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of the absolute sovereign God. She recognized his lordship, recognized him as the Messiah, and she worshiped him and begged for help. Begged for help. It's a very short prayer, isn't it? "Lord, help me." The shorter, the better. The shorter, the better. "Lord, save me." That reminds me of the words of another sinner in desperate need of mercy. Remember what Peter cried when he was sinking beneath the boisterous waves? Right across the page, find Matthew 14. When the Lord told Peter to come, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come." And he said, "Come." Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Another three-word prayer. "Lord, save me." That's a good thing to do, to ask the Lord for mercy. Now, this is great encouragement to sinners in need of mercy, is it not? Those who came to the Lord seeking help, those who came to the Lord seeking healing, seeking salvation, were never turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? He delights to show mercy. He is always ready, willing, able to show mercy to helpless, vile, wretched, guilty sinners and to save them by his grace. If he's going to save and determined to save sinners, I'm going to take my place before his throne as a sinner, in sinner in need of mercy. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 29 and verse 31, I meant to read this when we were reading, but look at Matthew 15, 29, and here we have multiple examples of the Lord doing just that. "Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And casting them down at his feet," what did he do? He healed them. "Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed made whole, the lame were walking, the blind were seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." Boy, there's a multitude. Remember, we've read this several times. Everyone who came to the Lord in need of mercy received mercy. Everyone who came to the Lord in need of healing, he healed everyone who had need of healing. That ought to encourage all of us. "We're to seek mercy where it's found. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Notice it's the throne of grace. This is one of the reasons that we meet here together each week. One of the reasons. We come to worship him. But don't we come here as mercy beggars, seeking the Lord for mercy each day? Each time we come to worship him. We come as mercy beggars seeking salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking pardon, seeking forgiveness. He came to save sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. If I can find somebody who's really a sinner, a bona fide, genuine sinner, I've got good news. Christ died for sinners. He came to seek and to save sinners. I'm going to take my place by his grace. I'm going to take my place before his sovereign throne as a sinner in need of mercy. The Lord delights to show mercy to such as we are. Now, we have Such a great example of that in our story. Here's a poor, desperate Gentile woman. The Lord called her a dog, seeking help for her child that was grievously vexed with a devil. We saw last week how the Lord dealt harshly with the Pharisees, with their religious pride and self-righteousness. You remember, he dealt harshly with them. Remember Matthew 15, look at verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Lord told those disciples who said, you know, they were offended in what you said. Look at verse 13, Matthew 15. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. As the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch of ruin. The Lord told the disciples to leave the Pharisees alone, leave them to their own wicked devices, their own religious pride and unbelief. But today the Lord gives us an example of great God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to a most unlikely Gentile woman who lived in a strange place, a place where idolatry was real. And the Lord says of her that she was granted great faith. Now let's go back to verse 21, Matthew 15, verse 21. The Savior went there, and he departed from the company of those self-righteous Jews, and he entered into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, everywhere the Lord went, he went on purpose. This was planned and decreed from all eternity. He just didn't say to his apostles, I think, let's go north. Let's go up to Tyre and Sidon and see if we can find anybody up there that needs help. The Lord knew exactly where he was going, and he knew exactly who he was going to meet and exactly all the circumstances that was going to be involved. The Lord departs from them, these self-seeking Pharisees, and seeks out one of his lost sheep. And he does so on purpose. The Lord on purpose went to Tyre and Sidon, at least 50 miles away. You can look on your map in what is today, present day, the country called Lebanon, where they're launching all those bombs down to Israel. That's Tyre and Sidon. The Lord went there seeking out this woman to heal her and her daughter and to show mercy. Like we read likewise in John chapter 4, where we read that he must needs go through Samaria, there's a woman there who needs the well of the water of life, salvation. And he crossed her path and he saved her by his grace. All those the Lord wisely saves and the Lord heals, he does so on purpose. There's no chance meeting, but rather it's ordained of God from all eternity. It's no accident that you bumped into the gospel. The Lord sent you a gospel preacher to tell you the truth. The Lord our God always saves sinners on purpose. Purpose by his sovereign grace, his sovereign mercy. Purpose. I love that verse in 2 Timothy 1:9 where Paul in prison writing back to young Timothy said, don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord. God saved us and called us, not according to our work, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God's purpose, God's grace. God always saves sinners by his sovereign purpose, sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Saved by purpose. God's purpose. Now, look at verse 22. And behold, take a look at this. That word behold there means pay attention. It means to stop, look, and listen. Behold, a woman of Canaan this Gentile woman came out of the same country of Tyre and Sidon and cried unto him, saying, can you just imagine her words, the desperate cry of this mother? I mean, her daughter was demon possessed. Her daughter was dying. It says in Mark 7 that she was young. She was a young girl, demon possessed. You imagine the cry of this mother. Some of you mothers here, if your daughter or your son was grievously vexed with a disease, wouldn't you just cry unto the Lord? Cry unto the Lord? Hey, you'd keep on crying, wouldn't you? Have mercy on me. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. She came and worshiped him as Lord. And then she recognized him as the son of David, the greater David, the Messiah. My daughter is grievously, grievously vexed, demon possessed. What a poor, poor condition this is for this woman. In Mark chapter 7, describes this woman as a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast the devil out of her daughter. So she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. But this woman had been marked out, elected, and chosen to salvation before the foundation of the world. The Lord has been elect from all nation, kindred, and tongue, who are redeemed by his blood, whose path he must pass in saving mercy. Remember from our study in the Revelation chapter 5, the Lord has redeemed by his blood out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, and people under heaven that sing unto him, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Wherever you find a seeking sinner, you will find a seeking shepherd. You'll find the good shepherd seeking out his lost sheep. Another case of that, you remember Zacchaeus, that publican who heard about the Lord Jesus Christ walking through town, climbed up that sycamore tree so he could get a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord walked right underneath that tree, looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today salvation has come to your house. How do you know his name? How do you know he's up that tree? Purpose. Every sinner God saves, he saves on purpose. Purpose, purpose. Whenever you find a seeking sinner, you will find the good shepherd seeking out his sheep. The Lord said to Zacchaeus, salvation's come to your house. For I know you're also one of those chosen sons of Abraham. All those children around there were sons of Abraham, not like this one was. He was a special elect of God, the spiritual son of Abraham. This woman heard of him, came and fell at his feet and worshiped him. A very good place to be. When we're seeking mercy of the Lord at his feet, humbled before his throne. We've seen this before. Turn, hold your place there. You remember in Matthew chapter 8. Turn back there. Matthew chapter 8 verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Matthew 8 verse 1. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Lord, if you will, you can. The Lord said, well, I will. Be thou clean. He came, the leper came and worshipped him and begged for mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Now we see her urgent plea, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Her trouble brought her to seek mercy, didn't it? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Trials are sent of God by God's sovereign purpose to draw us to him. If we're his, that's what they do. Paul said when he writes about trials, he said, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. trials that God sends our way to his people don't drive us away. They drive us to him. To him. David said, "Thou in your faithfulness hath afflicted me." One old preacher of the 1800s said this, "Health is a good thing, but sickness is far better if it leads us to Christ. Prosperity is a good thing, but adversity, trouble, and heartache is far better if it drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ." But notice she also addressed him not only as Lord, but as the Son of David. She recognized him to be the Messiah, the promised Messiah that was sent of God. She just didn't figure this out on her own. It was the sovereign revelation of God to her heart. It says in Mark 7:25, "This woman heard of him and fell at his feet." She heard of him. She heard about the word of God describing him. And it was revealed to her, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. And it comes by revelation. We're going to see that in a few weeks. Turn one page in Matthew 16. Remember the Lord said in Matthew 16:13, "Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?" Matthew 16:13. They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, or Elijah, or another prophet, Jeremiah." But he said to his apostles, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of David, the living God. Now look at it, verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father." He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Faith is not born of ignorance. Faith is born of hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now look at verse 23, back in our text. And the Lord heard that cry, no doubt about that. But he answered her not a word. Silence. Silence. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She's crying after us. She's bothering us." He answered her not a word. He did not immediately respond to her. He was silent. But that didn't stop her, did it? She was so determined to get help for her daughter. She went after the disciples. The Lord threw up a roadblock, and she just plowed right through it because she's in desperate need. True faith is determined to seek salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. I've got to get to him. I've got to get to him. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ as we are. As I've often said over the years, we come as mercy beggars. We say with Jacob, "Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies and the least of thy truth." The disciples said to the Lord, "Send her away. This woman's a bother to us." Well, that wasn't a good spirit, was it? Send her away. She's bothering. We don't have time for her. The disciples had a very poor attitude toward this sinful Gentile woman. They knew she was a dog. They knew she was a Gentile. And they said, "Just get away from us." Maybe their heart was full of pride. Maybe Peter and John thought, "Well, you know, we're apostles. We're Jews." Maybe their heart was full of pride instead of pity. Maybe their heart was full of resentment instead of love. Maybe their heart was hardened, hardness of heart, instead of showing mercy. You know, those who have received mercy and received forgiveness, those who have received mercy are ready to show mercy to others. But these apostles, "Go away. You're bothering the master." No, he came 50 miles to this place for this reason. Verse 24. Now what's the Lord going to do? Not only is he silent, but now he declares his sovereignty. His sovereignty in salvation. He said, I'm not sent to the lost. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep. This is one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, of God's elect. That's what he's talking about. The Lord declares his sovereignty and salvation. Remember, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save the whole house of Israel. I'm not talking about the Jews in the flesh. I'm talking about the spiritual sons of Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save all the elect of God. All the elect of God. All the spiritual Israel. We read in Romans 11:25, and all Israel shall be saved through the deliverer. He will come and deliver us, and he will save all Israel. And that's exactly what he did at the cross. He put away all the sins of God's elect. The Lord, throughout his ministry, plainly declared the sovereignty and salvation. He said, all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I'll never cast them out. He prayed in John 17, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. Isn't he declaring that he'll have mercy on whom he will? Isn't he declaring that he's sovereign in salvation toward his elect? The Lord declared election so clearly, so plainly. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. The apostles did too. God, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, being accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So she's first of all faced with silence, and then second of all, she's faced with his sovereignty. Look what happens in verse 25. She pushes right through that. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She wasn't discouraged. She was encouraged. You're the Lord of salvation. You're the only one who can help me. You're the only one that can help me. We see the perseverance of true saving faith, don't we? This woman was not hindered by the Lord's silence nor his sovereignty. Like the leper, she worshipped at his feet, begging for mercy. She does not plead her goodness. She does not plead her merit, but rather she depends on his goodness and his mercy. Now, verse 26. And then he said this. Not only was he silent, not only did he declare his sovereignty, now he declares that she's a sinner. You see that in verse 26? But he answered and said, it's not meet, it's not fit, it's not right, or it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He just called her a dog, a Gentile dog. Now, wouldn't that offend you? That would offend the average religious person if you said, you're nothing but a dead dog. Oh, wait a minute. That ain't me. Yeah, it is. We're all by nature dead dogs, aren't we? Dead dogs. But we see this woman, given true faith, perseveres. She still cries out, Lord, Lord, help me. The Lord speak directly to her now, verse 26. And he said, it's not proper to take for me to take the children's bread and to throw it down on the ground to a dog. She said, that's true. Lord, I'm your dog. I'm your dog. I'm your dog. The Jews considered the Gentile race as vile dogs and considered them to be no candidate for salvation. You're a dog. You're a Gentile. You just leave. Just leave. Remember when the Lord went to Nazareth, his hometown synagogue, and preached to those Jews, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, and and to do all these things and to save sinners by his grace. And then he read there from Isaiah 61 and said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And then he gave an illustration of what he was teaching. Remember, he said, in the days of Elijah the prophet, God sent Elijah the prophet to one Gentile widow woman in the town of Sidon. Same city where this woman was. A Gentile dog. God sent Elijah the prophet to the house of that woman and provided bread for her. On another, the same sermon the Lord preached, Elisha, the prophet of God, caring for and showing mercy to a Gentile dog named Naaman the Syrian. He was a leper. And he came to Elisha for healing. When those Jews heard that the Lord was going to save Gentile dogs, you remember what happened? They were filled with wrath. They were filled with anger. And they were going to take him physically out of the synagogue, march him to the cliff, the brow of the hill, and throw him down headlong to kill him. Murder was in their heart. When the Lord told those Jews he's going to save a dog. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save dogs. I love what she says here, verse 27. You're right. Truth, Lord. Yet, dogs eat crumbs which fall from the master's table. The dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That reminds me of another story. Remember the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel 9, when David comes to the throne, he's anointed king, and Jonathan, his beloved brother, was killed. Jonathan and David had a covenant. Jonathan said, when I die, will you promise me you'll take care of my family? Take care of my son, Mephibosheth. Remember what happened to Mephibosheth? He was crippled, lame on both his feet. And when David came to the throne, Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul. And when the new king was installed on the throne, most of the time what happened, the king wiped out the family of the former king. David, when he came to the throne for Jonathan's sake, and good to his word, said, I'm going to show mercy to old Mephibosheth. And they said, David made a decree, go and get Mephibosheth. You fetch him and bring him right here. What's Mephibosheth? Goodness, I can't get that out. Mephibosheth, what did he say? Lord, I'm your servant. When he came, he bowed himself as a servant. And you remember what he said? I'm a dead dog, but I'm your dog. That's a good place to be, like Mephibosheth, at the feet of the sovereign throne. I'm your dog. You're my master. Here's a good confession of faith. Taking our place before the Lord as sinners, owing our unworthiness. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is a faithful saying, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. Can you finish the rest of it? The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul said, I'm the chief one. I'm the chief one. Whenever you find in the scripture the servants of the Lord have been saved by his grace, they always confess they are sinners. Isaiah said, oh, wretched man, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now my eye sees thee. I hate myself. I repent in dust and ashes. The apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what's going to happen? Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I just need a crumb of mercy. I don't need a T-bone steak, just a crumb of mercy. A crumb of mercy. And the Lord said, verse 28 in closing, the Lord answered and said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Well, I want to believe God like that, don't you? Great, great, great is thy faith. The Lord commends her faith. What is great faith? What is great faith? To believe God. To believe God. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. How many times did the Lord say to those apostles, "Oh, ye of little faith"? When they were on the boat and the boat was sinking, "Oh, ye of little faith." When Peter was sinking and he cried out, "Lord, save me," he said, "Why did you doubt, oh, thou of little faith?" But here's a Gentile woman. And the Lord said, she has great faith. She has great faith. Great faith. True faith honors Christ most. Christ honors true faith in him because he gives true faith and he honors and accepts that which he gives. Faith is a gift of God. No wonder faith is called precious. Precious, precious faith. What is great faith? I'll give you another example. Hold your place there and turn back to Matthew 8 one more time. I'm almost through. Give me a minute. Matthew 8 one more time. Remember, here's another Gentile. This Gentile soldier, this centurion, this Roman soldier. Matthew 8, verse 5. "There came unto him the centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man with authority, I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Verse 10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There's a centurion, a Gentile dog. He said, "You have great faith." Here's a woman, a Gentile woman dog, and the Lord gives her great faith. What is great faith? It's saving faith. Great faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Great faith is based upon the word of God alone. She heard of him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Great faith never sees a reason to be discouraged and doubt. Great faith is humbled before God. Great faith is full of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Great faith acknowledges and loves the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great faith always receives what it seeks for. Christ is all and in all. The publican cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." And the Lord said, that man went down to his house justified rather than that Pharisee who bragged on himself. "Be it unto you as you will." This woman pursued mercy for her demon-possessed daughter and received it from the hand of the Lord. Her daughter was made whole. The encouraging thing about this, the Lord is the same. The same Lord who healed this woman is the same Lord today. We studied in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Remember this morning, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The same Lord that showed mercy in that day is the same Lord that shows mercy in this day. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's a precious gift of God, saving faith.